Welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show with Nancy Hopkins and Walt Silva, produced by Colleen Kelly of Haggy Shack Radio, simulcasted over Cosmic Reality Radio. And welcome to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. This is Nancy Hopkins speaking. This is Cosmic Reality Radio Station. With me is Walt Silva. And Walt, how are you today?
Good evening, Nancy. Good evening, audience. I hope we'll have something to talk about tonight. Thank you for being here.
Oh, we'll have something to talk about. Have we ever failed? Even if we have to make it up.
Yes, that's the name of the game.
Yeah. I had an interesting man on, Troy McGill, on the Shungite shows this morning, or, you know, noontime. That was a really interesting, it was another one of Jan Shaw's guests. I don't know how she does this, but she finds people who have a message, people that aren't well known, you know, they don't have a following, or I mean a local, but not, you know. And there are so many people out there, Walt, that just, if you listen to Jan's show, and that's on Saturdays at 2 to 4 p.m., I highly recommend that show, you can just get a feeling of, we're not alone. I mean, there are so many people out there that are coming to real awareness and real enlightenment. And it's just fascinating to watch the awareness transpire, as it were. So, I was tickled with him. He just.
What was the subject of the conversation?
Well, reality. You know, I mean, we talked about how you and I built reality, and I mean, it's the type of show that you and I have, you know, where we're just going back and forth, just talking about whatever comes up. And, it's these authentic people. You know, it's people that really know themselves, that are coming from a place of stability. They're not following, you know, you listen to other people, but if it doesn't resonate, it doesn't resonate, you know. And there's nobody that has all the answers except yourself. And so if you're in your authentic self position, you can talk about just about everything and anything. And he very much understood the influencing of the collective consciousness to make reality changes. So it was another one of those confirming type of stories, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we talked Shungite because he wasn't, well, we've got some Shungite going to him, but it's not gotten there yet, so.
Is he in the U.S. or elsewhere?
I think he's outside of the U.S. I'm not exactly sure where. So what's been up in your world? Do we have a Fulford report?
Yes, we do.
Well, let's start with that, and we'll just see where Ben takes us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me get this on. And the title is actually two posts. One is dated yesterday, and one is dated today. Okay. So the one for November 5th, the title is Saudi Arabia to be broken up. Israel must choose between Netanyahu and Tel Aviv. The dismantling of the Hazari Mafia control grid continues with ongoing takedown of the leadership of Saudi Arabia, Pentagon, CIA, and other sources. In particular, negotiations are now taking place between Russia and the U.S. to divide Saudi Arabia into a Sunni zone controlled by Iran and a Shia zone controlled by Turkey, according to CIA and FSB sources. Here's what the Pentagon had to say on this. In quotes, karma's a bitch, as Saudi Arabia may be dismembered for what it did to Jamal Khashoggi, and Mohammed bin Salman. They're making fun of the name bin Salman. May be forced to end the Yemen war and lift the Qatar blockade, while the U.S. may find new partners in Turkey and Iran after the global currency reset. The other thing going on is that the long-awaited arrests of Kabbalists in the U.S. have already begun, the sources say. The highest profile of these are senior Goldman Sachs bankers arrested, along with former Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak, for looting money from that country. One of the uses for the stolen money was to finance the Rothschild glorifying film The Wolf of Wall Street. More of the over 61,000 sealed indictments will be unsealed after the U.S. midterm elections, but already, in quotes, Gitmo Air is wheels up, the Pentagon sources say. Another visible aspect of this is the cabal, in quotes, Rockefeller faction, General Electric Corporation, ongoing bankruptcy, the sources say. This writer's great-grandfather, George Taylor Fulford, was the largest single shareholder in GE before he died in a mysterious car crash in 1905. All newspaper archives related to this crash have vanished, but his GE shares all went to the Rockefeller family via a corrupt trust fund, according to my grandmother. So for me, this is poetic justice more than a century after the fact. It is also important to remember that GE was intimately involved in the March 11, 2011 nuclear and tsunami mass murder attack on Japan, since it was their nuclear generators that were supposedly at the heart of this crime. In any case, the ongoing slow-motion stock market collapse will continue to claim corporate victims as the new quantum financial system goes online, the Pentagon sources say. The sources also say the migrant caravan in Mexico may have been neutralized with 15,000 U.S. troops to the border, as ISIS, MS-13, and other criminal elements were arrested by special forces, while Mexico has induced many to seek asylum. In other words, attempt to use this caravan to disrupt the U.S. midterm elections have been neutralized. There is also high-level intrigue going on in East Asia with the remote control hijacking and crashing of Indonesian Lion Air Flight JT610, CIA sources say. When I was reading this, I was reminded of you, what you wrote about 9/11, that you knew about the existence of technology that where you could take over a flight and there's nothing the crew could do.
Well, yes, and it should be in every single plane now.
Mm.
Because that technology had been around for, I bet, a decade, well, probably more than that, but I think I had seen it 10 years before, where a big old plane was purposely crashed in order to see the effects of what the crash did inside the plane, because they realized that in the crash it wasn't blunt force trauma that was killing people, it was the fire. Mm. And I watched them remotely control this plane, so they could have easily just landed the dang thing, but instead they crashed it. So, plus the fact that knowing, you know, the drone technology, knowing about that, and it's so strange, you know, it's like, why don't you just get in our face and tell us this stuff? So I'm researching this concept about the, you know, because I knew that they had a system in there where you could warn the ground, and that was it was four numbers you put in. You just plugged it in to the navigation, the beacon, that's friend and foe beacon, the one that's popping out, right? And the pilot, all they have to do is move their hand slightly to the right and push in those four codes, and there's a signal sent to the radar station saying hijacked, H-I-J-K, hijacked, okay? Well, you've got four highly trained people in flying these things. I think only three of them were actually military people. You know, they had been pilots, military pilots, and nobody punched that code in?
Yeah.
That's what led me to wonder, okay, if you're going to set a system up for takeover, why not lock it into what the pilot would do, which is to put in that code? So I think they all punched in the code, but when they did that, the plane was taken over by an automated, essentially drone kind of concept flying. It was much more technical than that, but, you know, that was what happened. And another thing that made me think that that was the way it happened was because of the fact that the Pennsylvania plane did not get taken over. I think that the code was put in, but it failed. And so now the hijackers have got to somehow fly this plane, and that's why they... Everything happened where they turned it around and, you know, and they crashed
it. Yeah, they were, it was like drunk flying.
Like, oh my God, it was insane, you know? And I think that basically the reason that it crashed was that in the commotion of the passengers trying to get into the cockpit, this novice pilot that could keep it straight, okay, turned, and as he turned, he pulled the wheel, turned it to the left, throwing it over into a complete upside down position that just boom drove it right into the ground. That's my little remoting in there of what happened. But yes, absolutely. It's technology that is not only known, but within a month, 30 days after the 9/11 event, okay, there was a patent put in for exactly what we're talking about. An automatic control situation where the pilots lose control of the plane and it's basically now flying automatically. Now, it's not that the ground is actually in control of the plane. What happens is that we've gotten so sophisticated with the electronic navigation capability of these planes that they are locked into a new set of coordinates and it's called the electronic tunnel. And they're taking beeps off of the satellites continually. And the satellites are telling them where they are within the electronic tunnel. And as long as they're stationary within the tunnel, they fly this electronic. It's like an invisible highway in the sky. And along on the ground, you've got different, they call them waypoints. And you've got waypoints that are... bypass, okay, you're bypassing them, but they're connecting with your plane saying, yes, you're still right, because the satellites give you a position, but you also have to coordinate or collaborate with the ground to make sure you are in that position. And that's what those waypoints are. Now, in the case of the Twin Towers, those Twin Towers were in fact waypoints. So all they did was when they punched in those in the Boston flights, the system came on and said, okay, you've got to fly by this towards the waypoint of the Twin Towers that's always a flyby, only that is your destination. And that's why the first one, the just flew straight into the it lined itself up for way up in Albany when it made the turn, and then flew directly down the Hudson straight into the towers, to the North Tower. I mean, it was just like, boom, somebody shot an arrow. The second plane, the one that was supposed to go into the second tower, what happened was that that was on a different automatic, the flight plan for that was taken over, but it was taken over a little bit later. And what happened was that the electronics started to try to correct. They were losing their destination. And so it flies by, does this weird turn back in to, so it flies by it, so it's west of New York. Then it does this reversal that takes it so that it's going east now, but it's coming from the south. And when it hit the tower, what I visually saw was that at the very end, there was a drastic change in the trajectory that I don't even think a pilot would attempt. And that's another reason that I felt it might be under some other control. Because all that the plane knows is I have to get to my destination. And so, you know, when everything, because again, you know, you got satellites and they're moving and you got, you know, it's complicated, but the fact that they were able to do that was astounding. So yes, the month after this, they had a patent. I've got a picture of the patent in my book, you know. So a month later, they said, oh, by the way, we could have flown those planes into those towers, no problem. Pentagon, no problem.
Okay, so with the Fulford report. Yes. So I'll just reread the intro to this section where it says, there is also high-level intrigue going on in East Asia with the remote control hijacking and crashing of Indonesian Lion Air flight JT-610, CIA sources say. This plane crash was part of a proxy battle for control of the Singaporean financial system, the sources say. Here is the CIA report on the crash. The Lion Air JT-610 crash was deliberate. There is no fuselage left. Most of the passengers will not be identified as there is nothing left to analyze. Currently, four passengers have been identified, one from a fingerprint taken from a piece of finger, one from a tattoo found on a piece of skin tissue, one from a tennis shoe that was seen in a photo being worn by a passenger before the flight, and one from a dress a passenger was seen wearing by her family before the flight. The bodies, along with the plane, were pulverized. The cockpit recorder, if found, will not be revealed to the public. If it is found, the storyline will be that it was damaged beyond repair. It does have the last minutes of the pilot and co-pilot's words. They most likely knew the plane controls had been taken over remotely. This information cannot be revealed to the public. Yesterday I was told that the 28 government employees in their various capacities were part of a white hat team who were negotiating a deal with the representatives of the Zionist cabal for the release of one of the bunkers of gold that is on Bangka Island. This was to be used for humanitarian purposes, starting with the people of Indonesia. This was told to me by a person whom I trust and is in the know on these matters. It seems that the Zionist cabal gave their answer to the negotiations by taking up the plane. Moreover, the other CIA sources say the gold concern has long been controlled by the family of long-term Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew. Lee Kuan Yew was one of the few people allowed to cash the bonds issued by the banking cabal that were backed with gold stolen from Asia, the sources say. The money was laundered into the global financial system via the tin mining industry, they say. This is one of the secrets of the island's state's property. The island state's prosperity, they say. This writer is now also in possession of one of these bonds, with a total value including interest of $1.16 billion. This bond has been in the possession of the daughter of Puyi, the last emperor of China. She is living in Japan under a new identity and handed it to this writer via a Buddhist temple, with the stipulation that it be used to finance the establishment of a meritocratically run future planning agency. The bond is part of a series backed by 70,000 tons of Manchu gold worth a total of 4.5 trillion, not the 40 trillion as earlier reported, that will be monetized in a responsible manner as projects for saving the planet are approved by experts and the work is put out to private sector bidding. White Dragon Society sources say. The bond has been determined to be genuine, and the cabal is now under pressure to make good on their promises and monetize it. The Gnostic Illuminati have told the White Dragon Society they have four nuclear weapons at their disposal. The White Dragon Society has informed the Zionist cabal they will destroy Tel Aviv and Basel, Switzerland, if the bonds are not monetized. Following that, either New York and London or Washington, D.C. and Rome will be destroyed. If this sounds radical, bear in mind that humanity has wiped out 60% of wild animals since 1970 alone. This means we're facing a planetary extinction-level event. The funds are to be used to finance a massive campaign to stop environmental destruction, end poverty, and allow for human expansion into the universe. Attempts to prevent this campaign from starting will be dealt with by using necessary force, including the extreme measures mentioned above, WS sources say. Also bear in mind that we are asking high-level criminals to return gold they stole, and these criminals have already been asked politely to return the stolen goods. In any case, it is unlikely these weapons will ever have to be used because U.S. military and agency white hats are already on the case. Pentagon sources say the cabal takedown will intensify after U.S. President Donald Trump meets Russian President Vladimir Putin in Paris on November 11th, which also happens to be Veterans Day. It is interesting that, on a micro level, a lot has been happening to this writer ever since one of the bonds was handed over to the White Dragon Society. For one thing, the technician responsible for a popular Japanese internet-based TV show on which I appear with over 600,000 weekly views, I am told, was hit by a car on Halloween night, causing the show to be canceled for 5 months while he recovers. Japanese gangsters subsequently called this writer to take claim for the hit. However, they explained the hit was related to gang rivalry and had nothing to do with my appearance on the TV show. We do not know who they are because their phone call had no caller ID. Of more interest, a female MK Ultra victim who was being targeted by microwave weapons flew over from Spain to ask for WS protection. She appears to be working for the Jesuits, who are not necessarily enemies of the WDS. What we mean by this is that while Peter Hans Kolvenbach, the former head of the Jesuits, was recorded by the NSA as bragging on the phone that he was Satan and was responsible for the 3/11 Fukushima attack, the new Jesuit and Catholic leader are preparing for their own massive campaign to help save the planet, P2 Freemason sources say. As long as we agreed on the need to save the planet and that many parallel efforts toward this goal can coexist, then past rivalries should be forgotten. We are also being told by Japanese gangsters that the Jesuits are ordering Barbara Bush's cousin, Richard L. Armitage, and Japan handler Joseph Nye to pressure Japanese slave Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to follow their orders. Both of these men are being followed 24/7, and for Earth's sakes, we strongly recommend they coordinate their activities with the WDS. And that's all he wrote.
Well, that's stunning. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, they're prepared to nuke any city, but obviously they're aware that, you know, the whole world is on its way out. The sixth extinction. And if you look at it, it is absolutely stunningly awful. And we're probably no more than 4 years out from it. Probably more like three. And to see that the protection of the planet has become the most critical focus point of a number of groups, whether true or not, would be awesome. Because we also know that we can turn it all around with Shunkite. You know, it doesn't have to go that way. But if it's just another indicator, Walt, of how it's happening. There's an awareness coming.
And that's all it is, Nancy. It's all consciousness.
Yeah,
it's all consciousness. And then those that that's one of the things that has been kept such a close guarded secret. And here I agree with Anastasia, the negative, counterproductive effect of occultism. And that's their main thing. Keep things hidden. Keep things secret. And knowledge belongs to all of us. It doesn't belong to just one person or one little tiny group. It belongs to everyone. Because we're children of the universe and we have access to all the knowledge in the universe. So that's why I don't agree with occultism, because that's what it's based on. It's based on two simple concepts. And I've had people, you know, write me emails about occultism, and I said, I'm sorry, but I don't go with that, because number one, it relies on the perception or the belief system right off the bat. I'm better than everybody else. I'm superior to everybody else. That's number one. You know,
What's the name of this?
No, this is occultism, you know, the occult, people that
are obsessed with the occult.
Everything that has to be occult in nature, you know, occult powers and occult studies. And
okay, exactly.
You name it.
Okay.
The number one, what's the number one ingredient you need is I'm better than everybody. Absolutely. You have to believe that you and your group, you are above all other humans, because that was the driving principle that drove those six priests to decide to take over humanity. And they started their campaign so long ago, and they started, you know, wiping out the Vedras. And the other is that the need for complete secrecy all the time. You know, nobody can know unless they swear their life and their allegiance to you. Nobody can know what you know. And that flies in the face of the universe and nature. Nature doesn't withhold anything from anybody. You know, the apple tree doesn't care who eats, you know, here's the apple. Of course, the Vedras knew, since everything is consciousness and energy, you knew that, you know, if somebody wanted to eat an apple that you didn't give it to them from your tree, the apple would rot even before you put it to your mouth. Again, complete awareness of everything is being energy. And I withdraw, and they understood the concept of contract. You know, I withdraw my consent from you taking my fruit. Therefore, the individual could not eat it. So this is, all of this knowledge is not supposed to be a secret. It's ours. It's all of us knowledge. So that's why I don't agree with, you know, if somebody wants to study occultism, that's fine. That's your life. But I'm not going to partake in that, because it relies on that. I mean, I've seen it. I am aware of individuals who are Masons, and that's their attitude, because they're a Mason. They're better than everybody else. There's Masons and there's human cattle. You know, the same, always the same stupid arrogance that you see it in, among racial groups and religious groups, is that, oh, because you're a member of this church, you're superior to all the other members of all the other churches everywhere, because you're a member of this one, and we're better than that, because blah, 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 you know.
And they went out and they convinced the rest of us that it was true.
Yeah, well, that's, if you don't think for yourself, then yes, if you let others think for you, that's why I said to you in a previous show, people are so psychologically afraid and terrified of this whole concept of AI, AI here and AI there, and computers are going to take over our lives. And I said to you, if I'm standing in front of a flesh and blood human, and this person is unable to entertain one single thought outside of their pre-programmed belief system, I am talking to an AI. I'm not talking to a living being equipped with a soul, with an immortal soul. I'm talking to an AI. You know, if I'm talking to a person and they cannot entertain or conceive or contemplate a thought outside their conditioned belief system that has been put on you by your parents, your priest, whoever, you know, whatever religion you belong to, then that's an AI. I'm not talking to a natural being. I'm talking to an AI, because this individual can only process thinking within these set parameters. Isn't that a computer? You know, if my computer is running Windows, I can't ask it to run Linux simultaneously within the same memory space. Either I boot Linux or I boot Windows. You can't have the two, you know, squeezed together like oil and water. Well, so I'm looking at a human AI if I'm seeing that. So that ability of thinking for yourself, if you look carefully, look down, you know, the tunnel, look backwards at the tunnel of your memories, you'll see all the systems, school, religions, you name it, has been set up to do just that, curtail the use of free thinking, curtail, control, you know, measure, guide, herd, like a herd of cattle, always, you know, think these ways. Think. Even how I was laughing, I was listening, I was working in the shop when I was listening to Pandora. So since I have, it's a free account, it's not a paid account, I do have to endure commercials every so many songs. You know, you'll get a commercial pause and there'll be a human voice saying something. So here's a commercial from, what was it? Oh, it's a commercial from one of the credit cards that want you to understand that for so many transactions, or you have this 1.5 cashback thing. So the recurring theme for what the woman was saying is her words were, don't think. So think about your business. Think about this that you can do. Think that other thing. But don't think about the 1.5% because that's going to happen. So the entire dissertation or whatever her speech, her written speech was telling the person what to think and how to think it. And it was right there. It was so obvious. It's, you couldn't make it any more clear. She's telling the person who's listening to this commercial, think about this, 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 and this, and don't think about this other thing.
Well, you know, let me tell you something. I used to be 80% of the time the television was on, it was on news. I was going back and forth between all the news stations. And I did that not because I believed what they were saying, but because I wanted to see what they were saying to the mass of people. And I never got that way, but somebody actually, on some one story, recorded what each of these different mainstream medias were saying, and they were saying exactly the same words. I mean, it was like this, it's a YouTube thing. It was just actually a mind-bending, you know, proof of the fact that, yeah, they're just talking heads, okay? Now, they create the internet because, communication and all data processing and stuff, but it didn't take them long before they realized how they could control human beings by using the social media of Facebook and the search engines of Google, make them look where they've got to go, make them tell us everything they you know, this is, Facebook is the biggest data gathering source in the conceived universe. So they're using the internet and all the social media and the various aspects of it to learn more about us and to control more. So they create this thing, you know. And then comes me, and I have to go out there, and I have to figure out 8 hours of programming, various programming, concerning whatever subject is tickling me at the time. And I'm putting together the Monday show. It's called Other Voices, and I just listen to and record various shows, various perspectives on this, that, and the other thing. And it was while I was watching a show where where was he from? I don't know. He sounds American, honestly, but I don't think he was an American. But anyway, he's in a car. He's in Mexico. He's actually tracking, he's a reporter, actually tracking this caravan, you know, these immigrant caravan peoples coming into the country. And he's saying things like, well, like, okay, 76 of them have shown up somewhere in Mexico, like Mexico City or something, and they're demanding to get immediate transport to the border and to be allowed into the United States. And he's saying, but they've got money to be in a hotel. And the reason they're there first is because they took a train. Okay, so what I'm saying here is that I'm listening to this guy tell a story because he's there in the country talking to different people, you know, getting a totally different perspective on what's happening. And what he saw happening was that Mexico was, apparently the president of Mexico right now is a socialist. And he basically said to this mob, come to Mexico City, we'll put you up. And meanwhile, Mexico City, he said, I didn't realize this, but again, getting my news from alternate sources, he said that 80% of Mexico City had virtually been destroyed during that last earthquake.
Oh.
And that the city is absolutely desolate. And all of a sudden, they're asking, you know, 5,000 people to come in, and we'll feed you, and we'll da-da-da-da-da, you know. And this reporter was saying, Mexico's done. Mexico is absolutely done. Because it was the same thing that they did in Europe to each of the different European countries. It was like all of a sudden, these immigrants from Africa or the Middle East, you know, all of a sudden they start going into different places. And I believe Germany said, yes, come here, we'll help you out, because they needed workers or something. And the vast majority of the type of people that came in those waves were men, okay? And he was saying that 90% of the people in 90%, I think he said 90, but let's say 70%, but the vast majority of people in this caravan are men, not women and children, although mass media keeps focusing on the women and children. And giving you a totally different perspective on what's really happening on the ground. And a kind of a scary one. I mean, this was like, oh my goodness. And so the caravan is now in Mexico. And some of, you know, demanding, and they're demanding to be brought to America. And this guy was correctly, in my opinion, pointing out that this was an invasion. It's an invasion of immigrants, but it's an invasion nonetheless.
Exactly.
And you know, I mean, it's amazing the situation that the president is being put in. If these people had guns or knives or picks,
you'd be in a world of trouble.
You know, then you can put the military up and shoot them if you have to. But because they're coming in unarmed, and because, sorry about this, but liberal thinking is saying, oh, bring them in, because they need to be in. They're, you know, running from terrible things. Well, no, maybe that's not a good idea if you want to look at what just happened in Europe. Sweden now is the number one capital for rape in the world.
So, do you see a pattern? I mean, there you have it. You know, the same hands that manipulated what happened in Europe are manipulating to have a repeat Europe in the American continent.
Exactly. And the president is, I mean, as far as a move on a chessboard, that was a brilliant move they just made. And again, where's the money coming from to put these people up in hotels and take trains? Where's all the porta potties? Where's all the food and the water that's supposed to be there? You know, and yeah. Now they have actual leaders. I mean, initially there was no leaders. They were just getting together. And if you talk to at least one guy there, he says, yes, that's what happened to me. My place was, I don't know if he was Nicaraguan or San Salvadorian. I don't know what he was. But my country was so bad. My wife had been robbed twice, and somebody else, you know, got killed, his neighbor or something. And, you know, I had to take my children and take a chance. I think, yeah, but how many of those people are actually in that pact? You know, we don't know. But the fact of the matter is this is an invasion. You know, and I don't think that they should go out there and shoot them, but I certainly think that they should detain them and then send them back to their own countries. It's a quandary that they put the president in. Probably anything he does is not going to be liked by, you know, the do-gooders. And the do-gooders are fine if you understood that when you're doing, you know, it's like this thing. They fight so that you don't have an abortion. But once that baby is born, they don't give a shit. And it's the same sort of thing. They'll fight for these people to have the right to come into this country. And then at the same time, what are you going to do with them? They don't have the skills, you know.
And it's like what do you call it? The when they used to, at least I don't know if this is historically accurate, because again, so much of history has been corrupted throughout time. But it was my understanding from scenes I saw at the Museum of Natural History in New York that in ancient times, when Native American people would hunt buffalo, one of the techniques was to create a stampede toward a cliff and force the animals, as many as possible, to jump off the cliff. And then you have all these dead animals, and you didn't have to get any of your people hurt in killing them. You know, that's what they portrayed in one of these, what do you call them? The displays on the museum.
I believe that is true, Walt.
Okay. Well, aren't you doing the same thing? Aren't you grabbing a herd of humans and forcing them to run against the cliff face and see what happens?
It really is insane.
It's the same manipulation. And if you follow the money, the reason these people are okay, ask, you know, go back and trace why do they have to escape where they lived? Because the place where they lived was turned into a living hellhole by the people that are financing this thing. It's manipulation from A to Z. Your country was made into a living hellhole, so you will be forced to leave to join the herd of these other poor creatures escaping their environment. So the same way that they're destroying natural environments where wild animals have to flee from one area to another because somebody's burning their forest or they're being, you know, hunted to death, they're doing it with humans. They don't, in their minds, they don't see a difference. Humans, animals, you know, it's all the same thing. Now, you know, those, just useless eaters, you know.
For those people that don't know what Walt is talking about, there's a book called Economic Assassin by John, I'm always forgetting his last name. John's his first name. Economic Assassin. And I don't even know how he survived, but he in this book explains exactly how they took over economically all of the Central and South American political systems in order to control them by putting them absolutely at the poverty point because of the loans that they owed the international bankers. And so what Walt is saying is absolutely true, is that there was manipulation of economies and politicians to, and if the politician wouldn't play, the politicians died, and that's why he was considered, he called himself an assassin. So it's an amazing book. But what we've got happening over here now is that if America goes down like Europe is going down, there's no hope. It's the same if you take it on an individual. In your family, if you're not solid, if you're not stable, your family's not stable. So if you've got an influx of immigration, and I mean, if this works, then the world is going to be here. You know? And the system can't possibly exist like this. No, there's another probably a politician trying to talk to me. I'm going to have.
They know what a game changer Nancy Hopkins is, so let's get hold of Captain Hopkins here.
Exactly. But you know, so you got the same sort of situation, you know, that you've got to realize that there's a practical response. It's get away from the politics. Look at what is happening. You've got a mass of people trying to come into your country. And why? Because their country is screwed up. Well, if they come here, they're going to screw us up. How can you help people if you let everybody screw you up? We've got to stay stable here. We've got to think about this.
Well, it's like the, what do you call it, when you have, isn't that comparable to when you have an ocean liner go down and people are fighting to get on the lifeboats? And then there's so many people on the lifeboat, they're actually sinking the lifeboats?
Same thing. So, yeah, definitely, it's a totally different perspective on what I'm sure mainstream, I don't watch mainstream media, but I'm sure that it's, you know, but the thing of it is, Walt, is that as I'm looking for these different shows, okay, I just give me something. Now, maybe it's because the search engines know what I like. But as I'm out there, I'm not seeing people yelling at Trump. I'm not seeing a tremendous amount of YouTubes talking bad about Trump. There is, everything I look at is going like, you know, let's look at this from Trump's position. And I don't know what's going to happen tonight because, of course, the elections are happening. And for all I know, the Republicans are getting blown out of the water by the Democrats. But not knowing, I would say that it's going to be the other way around. I think that the president probably has a much, much deeper base than any of those mainstream media people are going to ever admit to. So it's going to be interesting, because we're having what they call midterm elections here in the United States. And they are not electing the president. It's every 4 years the president gets elected, but every 2 years, they change certain number of the House and the Senate, which is the way that they kind of like screw us all over, because we got to keep paying for these elections, basically, because you know the same people are going to get in. But anyway, that's happening tonight. And the thought here is that if the Republicans lose control over, I don't even know now, Senate, I don't know, something, they've got control over something, that the president's not going to be able to operate, his agenda is going to go down the tubes, and that's all BS. Don't worry about any of that.
Well,
they're all going to be in jail as soon as it's over.
After all the time and effort the military are putting behind Trump, after all the people, good people that they've lost in this fight, you think they're just going to, let's sit back and watch the Democrats, you know, ruin everything for everybody. Seriously? You know, how long have they been talking about a military coup? Well, a military coup says it's done. What needs to be done is going to get done, and nobody's going to stand in the way of that. So this business, if we were, let's go back to the simple fact that we don't have a public government. We don't have a government of the people. We don't have a republic. We have a corporation. So you think you're living under a two-party system. You're not. Both parties are officers of the same crooked corporation that is responsible for how many crimes. So can you deceive yourself in thinking, the power of my vote is making it, come on, the power of your vote is being used to manipulate you. You know, wake up to that fact. So if we need a military coup to go back to a republic, to a government of the people, then so be it. You know, it might sound radical what I'm saying, but do we have a government of the people? No, we're still under a corporation. Well, what we need to get rid of.
See, Walt, the situation is one that the connotation of a military coup, okay, is overthrowing a publicly elected government. Okay. First off.
And it isn't. It is not.
Not publicly elected.
There goes your vote.
Okay. So it is not a military coup in the connotation of military coup.
Exactly.
The other thing is that I don't know how other countries are set up, but in America, the officer corps of the armed forces, when they take their oath and join the military, they take it to protect the Constitution of the United States. So it's not a coup. It's the fact that the military has been given a mandate that at all costs you protect the United States Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. This is not a coup by definition of somebody doing something against a legitimate government that is a public government. This is a military mandate dictated by the Constitution itself. In that, the Constitution delineates certain freedoms and certain things that are allowed for the federal government to do.
Yeah, wouldn't it be more correct to call this, going back to the corporate world, what is the term, leveraged buyout? Where a corporation gets bought out whether they like it or not?
I think you're thinking more of a hostile buyout.
Oh, hostile takeover. Hostile takeover. Hostile
takeover.
Just be corporate about it, people.
Right. I mean, one of the things that is missed by too many people is the concept that the federal government only gets its powers through the Constitution. And it clearly states in the Constitution that if the Constitution does not delineate, in other words, state that the federal government has a certain right, the federal government does not have the right, period. So since the corporate takeover of the federal government system, right after the Civil War, okay, the country was demolished, and so they made this terrible, terrible deal. All this is historical fact. Scary, but historical fact. So what we've got now is you've got a retake, a reboot of the revolution, but it's done by military mandate. The people that are in have taken the oath. Nobody said to me, "Well, Nancy, you're not going to be a captain in the army anymore, so forget your oath." Nobody said that to me. I took that oath for life, and so you've got a lot of people up there that prior military, including Donald Trump, who took that oath to protect the Constitution, and the Constitution has not been enacted since just right after the Civil War. All of the laws and regulations that this corporate group put together are hogwash. They have no justification in legal law as long as legal law is common law. Okay, but what they did was they substituted common law for military or admiralty law. And why do we say the ship of state? Because it all comes from this legal system that makes the corporation, the ship, in charge of everything. It's not common law at all. And all we have to do is revert to common law. So where do you get common law? You get common law in a military court. And that is why we are hesitating. We are adjusting because you have to build up the military justice system itself as far as how many courts can you put in act at one time, because you've got 61 plus thousand people that are going to be brought charges against, mostly for treason, and brought into these courts that are being run by common law. And it's a massive, I mean, you're just like, you know, quadrupling, maybe more than that, the structure of the military court systems. And that's why Donald has been positioning himself to get Kavanaugh
Is there a law that says you can't do a trial in a tent? I just make tent cities, hundreds, thousands of tents.
It's not the facilities, Walt. It's the legal, because in common law you have to have a lawyer that believes in you. Well, it doesn't believe in you, but believes in justice. So you have to have lawyers. Well, you don't have that many lawyers in the military justice system. So they had to pass a law that said that civilian lawyers can represent people and try people within the military justice system. And that's one of the first things he did. So he's got that up. He's got it's all being orchestrated from someplace in one of the western states. I forget which one. Colorado, maybe. But so they've got it set up to be able to bring these people to justice, but within common law justice. And also that they are required to give them the legal expertise to be able to fight these things if they can, you know. So all of this is going to be orchestrated, plus the fact you got a place to put them. Well, at Guantanamo, that's why they got so much money to, you know, expand. And Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. Because Kavanaugh was specifically asked by Senator Graham, you know, what's your opinion on, you know, civilians being tried in a military court? And he was the one that pointed out, we have been under martial law. And so martial law, by the technicalities of it, demands military court. So...
ta-da!
Yeah, I mean, so the fact that he's talking in terms of, you know, they've already started arresting people. I mean, I love the fact that they went after the bankers right off the bat, because who's going to stand up for the bankers?
Everybody loves them to death.
You know, don't arrest the bankers. They're so good. They're so good for us. No.
Yeah. They exist for the good of us all.
It's truly an amazing time we live in. I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued. We started late on the show, so I'm running over a little bit here, over the hour. I'm really intrigued with a second meeting between Putin and Trump in Paris on Veterans Day. I mean, what is this going to be?
That's interesting because this Macron, as Fulford had said, I don't think it's from Fulford. It's from another source. This guy is getting criticized no end because there's a photo of him in office, and he's deliberately making this Satanist sign with his hand to the camera, and even French people are doing manifestations against him because now more than ever people are aware that he stole the election. He's not in power by people freely electing him. And Fulford says he's a Hazarian stooge, a cabal stooge. So he's one of the ones who's got to go, like Angela Merkel.
Now, he's the president of France?
Yes. Oh, and one of the things that Fulford pointed out in a previous report, not a previous report, but one of the other, he's got like reports between reports. And if you remember, when he visited the White House and met with Trump, there's a photo of the two men in the White House lawn, and they were kind of symbolically planting this little oak tree. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Nobody can explain it, but the oak tree has mysteriously disappeared. So whatever symbol that was meant to convey, it's no longer valid. It's been eliminated. So I don't know if that was some kind of symbol of some agreement or some unspoken contract, but it's gone.
That's funny.
Yeah, so.
Okie dokie. So when we come back, did you listen to that YouTube from Harold Kautz Vela on the black goo?
No, I didn't. I haven't seen any video.
Okay. I called you out to look at it, but I figured maybe you didn't. So when we come back, I'm going to play you something that he says. Because last week on this show, I said that I saw a video of somebody standing in front of the black stone in the corner of the Mecca cube, the Kaaba, and that because of the video, I was able to not only visually see what was there, but to pick up the energy, and I believed it was Shungite. And one of our listeners said, no, you're wrong, because this guy says it's black goo, and, you know. Okay, so then I listened to it, and I go, okay, he's not contradicting me. He's actually supporting me in that he says there's two different types of black goo. Now, anybody that happens to be a long-time listener to Walt and I know back in 2015, I think it was, he and I had an occasion to, let's say, interact with black goo, and not the good kind. So I'm going to play this tape, Walt, because when I listened to what he was saying, it was like, wow. I need Walt to hear this so that he can explain to me what Harold just said. So we're going to take a break here. And, okay, let's just put Gary Allen on. It's just under 4 minutes. And we'll be right back.
I saw you standing in the middle of the thunder and lightning. I know you're feeling like you just can't win, but you're trying. It's hard to keep on keeping on when you're being pushed around. Don't even know which way is up. You just keep spinning down, round, down. Every storm runs out of rain, just like every dark night turns into day. Every heartache will fade away, just like every storm runs out of rain. Tell yourself that there's something more, and walk out that door. Go find a new rose. Don't be afraid of the thorns, 'cause we all have thorns. Just put your feet up to the edge, put your face in the wind. And when you fall back down, keep on remembering.
Welcome back to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show. This is Nancy Hopkins with Walt Silva. And Walt, is there anything else you wanted to say about what we've been talking about? Oh, wait a minute. You got another Ben thing, don't you?
No, it's a letter written from someone to Ben. It's not a report.
Oh, okay.
Someone is writing to ask him something about the RV. So yeah. It's not... He's saying to the person, you know, I'm not a financial advisor, and I'm not aware when this thing is going down, because that's one of the things that are, he's saying, because there's other reports that you can pick up on YouTube. And for example, on YouTube, one of the things that was being said is that after November 11, there's talk of the stock market crashing completely, because they want to deploy this quantum financial system. So they're saying, you know, it's good to have supplies on hand, whatever that means. So I don't know if they're thinking that maybe supermarkets are not going to be able to process transactions for whatever reason. I don't know. It reminded me of Wellcook. But that's one of the things. But it's the recorded messages in YouTube keep making mention of this 800 numbers, 800 numbers being released. So I don't know what that means. Does it mean that when the RV finally gets done, people will have access to these 800 numbers and call, and you can do the exchange? You have, because I bought, this goes back to more than 4 years ago. I bought those Vietnamese dong thing. Other people were buying Iraqi dinars. You remember that thing?
I heard about it.
So I bought Vietnamese dong. But one of the things in the recorded messages was a member, because the Federal Reserve is owned by a number of families. It's not just owned by one person or two people. It's a number of families that own it.
No. The Federal Reserve is not essentially owned, unless you.
Oh, okay.
The Federal Reserve,
or one of the families that runs it, I guess.
Well, it's the cabal. I mean, the cabal family controls the Federal Reserve, but it's not really an ownership thing. It is like it's a corporation.
Correct. It's a private bank.
It's a private bank. Yes.
So a member of one of those families reported that they had been threatened by the Bush group that if they released any funds because of the RV, that their whole family were going to get killed. So I don't know what that's about. So I don't know if there's any truth behind that, but I guess they would be the kind of individuals that would do that, you know, threaten to kill an entire family if, you know, any money's released. So I don't know what the deal is with those 800 numbers. They keep talking about the 800 numbers.
Well, I suspect that, the stock market is going wonkers. The only reason I know is my father had stock, and then he left it to me. So I don't really think of it as mine. It just sits there. But it does give me kind of like a user's perspective on what's happening. And I told you last time we were here. Now, I'm heavy into tech, so the tech stocks. But that I'd lost about, well, I hadn't lost it. Dad, but he's on the other side, had lost in the stocks about $6,000 in like less, it was less than 10 days, I think. But then it went back up by $1,000, you know, and then it dropped again. So I've been watching this for, 4 years now, and I've never seen it jump around like this. So there's definitely something happening there. But people, don't be afraid of it, even if you've got a lot of stock and you got a lot of money and all of this stuff, because unless you're greedy, unless you think that your reality depends on how much money you have, because what we're talking about here is that there is more money out there than you can even comprehend. They tell you there's a limited amount of gold, but there's a lot more gold than they've ever admitted to. You've got enough money to pay off everybody's debts. And
I want to insert something in this. Please,
sure.
Make a pause, put a bookmark on what you were saying. But I need to insert this because I think this is evidence. I mean, I've asked with my pendulum and it says yes. I think this is evidence that this thing, this debt jubilee, is going to happen, because Fulford, not in one or two, but in several reports, says that one of the conditions that has to be met for the quantum financial system, which is what the words that he keeps using over and over again, that for the quantum financial system to be able to be turned on and be functional, you must have a debt jubilee where all debts, private and public, are going to be canceled. And it apparently is something that used to happen in the old European world. Every 50 years, they would do a jubilee, and everybody's debts were struck out, and everybody begins again from zero. But the only this time they didn't do it, and you know it has been accumulating for centuries. So I think a pattern of this, that this is going to happen, is that rare is the day that I don't get a letter or a postcard from some character here locally, whether it's in St. Paul or Minneapolis where I live, offering to buy my house as is, no questions asked. Just give me a call, and the money is here. It's like, remember the big drive to buy gold where everybody was buying gold all over the place? Now it's with the houses. So I'm thinking, what's going on behind the scenes that's driving this, because my property didn't go up in price, not that much. It's not worth zero, but it's not like it went up in price overnight. And then I started connecting the dots, and I said to my mom, I think I know what this thing means, because Fulford said in his report, when he gave an example of how the Jubilee would work, let's say you have your house, okay, and okay, the mortgage is canceled, the house is yours, but if you end up going crazy with drugs or something and you end up losing your house because you blew up all your money with some other crazy thing, well, then that's it. You don't get another free house because you just lost the house that you lived in. So that's the way it works. Your debt where you live is canceled, and you don't have to worry about that. You know, don't be an idiot. You know, don't lose your house. So I'm saying to my mom, if these people are, who knows what kind of deals they're making with banks or what kind of financing they're getting, if you, let's say you go out and in the span of a few months, let's say you acquire 10 properties, and maybe all those, I don't know how that the business with mortgages works, because it's all Greek to me. Now all of a sudden you get hit with Jubilee. Now you own their properties scot-free, right? Because it's your name on all the paperwork. You or your group own these 10 properties. The Jubilee kicks in. Now you own 10 properties scot-free, and you can sell them and make a pile of money, and you don't owe anybody anything. So maybe it's my fanciful thinking. I'm too infantile in my thinking, but I just see patterns. I'm seeing a pattern here.
I think you're paranoid, but just because you're paranoid does not mean they're not out to get you. What I'm trying to say here is that yes, there could be upset, okay, but do not get involved in it, because it's upset from that other matrix. The last thing that the people that are orchestrating this as best they can want to happen is that anybody gets hurt. Oh, the big guys, but not the rest of us. So just have faith, because first off, if those people that think that Donald Trump is the devil are right, then their reality is one of doom and gloom. If he's president, then they're lost. My God, we're going to be at war with everybody. If our version of reality is correct, at least my version, I'll speak for myself, that Donald Trump and the White Hats and John Kennedy Jr. are actually orchestrating a return to the Republic, and that when they make this move, and it's already begun, but when they make this move and they clean up the swamp, just like he said, what is going to be put in place is a new conception, a new, as Walt's favorite word, paradigm. A new paradigm where debt does not exist. I mean, there is a case to say that this is actually ceremonial black magic being perpetrated on us. All of this is going to be gone. You're not going to have to worry about the house over your head, or the food, or your children being educated to think and to imagine and to create instead of to be zombies or biological AIs, as Walt likes to call them. So if you're ready, let's go talk about...
I wanted to say one last thing
before
I forget.
Sure.
Did you know that Hillary Clinton got booed out of the Democratic Convention? According to one of the Fulford recorded messages, she did some kind of finagling with an email system or something, and she stole the Democratic nomination. So she said she made a serious mistake, because she made enemies of the rest of the people in the party. So she went to, in the recording it says where this convention happened, and when she showed up, she got booed out of the convention, and most of the people, if not a lot of the people, you know, just walked out, because she literally did something she manipulated something in order to grab the nomination for herself. And I guess nobody wants her. So that was in one of the elements in the recorded messages that are available on YouTube.
Yeah, that was kind of, I didn't know about her getting booed, but, you know, I mean, that was kind of known that she stole it from, Bernie Sanders. Is that his name? Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
Okay, so let's go to Black Goo, speaking of swamp people. Okay, this is, it's not very long. It's, wait a minute, where did I put it? Okay, it's 9 minutes long. And it's this German, so he's got an accent. Harold K-A-U-T-Z, Kautz Vella, V-E-L-L-A. And he's talking about black goo, okay? And for those of you that don't know what black goo is, a few years ago, Walt and I got involved in, and I really think that this might be one of the guys. I think it was, what's his name? Oh, I can't think of his name.
Because the guy who we're talking about, the guy that we listened to several of his videos to get some background, was this very thin British gentleman with the glasses, and Miles Johnston. The two had a multi-episode recorded shows talking about this goo, because the story went back to like the 60s, when some goo was taken from south, from the Antarctic, from one of the islands near the Antarctic, and it was brought to London by an engineer. You remember, it was a communication company?
Well, that was wasn't that the Falkland War all about?
Yeah, it was fought over the, that's what they say, that the war, it was just a screen that that they were fighting over the Falklands, when in reality they were fighting over access to this thing. And that's why the Argentine science base that was in one of the tiny islands, they evacuated all the scientists, and then the British military blew up the entire installation. So this gentleman that you're going to play his recording, what is his business in all this? Is he an investigator or a scientist? What does he do?
Okay, what the story is here is that he is a he went into science, but then ended up becoming a reporter. But he got with a group, and I think it's still on the tape, that he and some other not science, like you and I, okay, getting together, talking about stuff and looking into different things. And this discussion, just the clip of what he's talking about when he's talking about black goo as far as it being a natural force of nature is what he's focusing on. In other clips or other videos, he talks about the fact, and that, okay, you remember when we did this whole thing, right? And I did a remote on it. You know, we're going, well, where did it come from? You know, what is it? And I ended up doing a remote, and I ended up being someplace off planet, and they were shooting this stuff at us, you know, and we shot it back at them, and there was all this screaming, and it's quite an amazing tape. It's actually online. I'll have to make it into a YouTube. But the black goo that is extraterrestrial, he says, is, let me see if I can get this straight. It's a sentient, he says, first off, that it comes from a planet that exploded. And it's got the sentient construct of that planet, which is the black goo. But because it's been ripped from the matrix of that particular planet, it has lost connections of chakras. So it's got a chakra for, I don't even know what it is. There's three chakras it has, but it does not have the heart chakra. So it's not like the black goo that's naturally produced here on Earth, which is what he's talking about. Now, the reader that, or the listener that pointed me to this, thank you for pointing me to this, because this is just an amazing kind of little find. It's another little quirky thing regarding Shungite. Because when he's discussing what he's discussing, Walt, it really makes me, it's so much part of the Shungite legacy, the Shungite story. So let's just listen to it, because I think you're going to find him fascinating. And it's only 8 minutes. And don't be talking to people in chat. Listen, Walt.
So I watched some of your shows that are available out there. So I heard about the black goo, and I know that a lot of people have no idea, never heard a term, never heard of such thing. What is black goo. What is it?
The easiest way to grab it is like
understanding how life is created on a planet. Mm-hmm. This is, the research is coming from the lab. We did all this in the lab just by moving water enriched with carbon dioxide, seeing what happens inside the water. This is kind of transmutation research. Mm-hmm. And once you have the results in the lab, it is possible to understand what happens inside the earth. So now we go all the way how life is created. You have subduction from the oceans, where water sediments, water-rich sediments, go into the lower areas of the planet, and this water rises up again. Mm-hmm. It's lighter than stone, so it's pressed up, and it's enriched with carbon dioxide from all the biological things that are subducted as well. So we have uprising carbon dioxide enriched water. And this goes through the stone in a very, under high pressure, high temperature, and with a lot of vortical motions. And you can imagine like the stone is opening, closing, you know, for all these veins of water rising up. So you have like Venturi, valves. So you have compression and then it releases, which is creating cavitation fields. This is exactly the setup we use in the lab for transmutation. And in the lab, what we can observe in the lab actually is that the water and the carbon dioxide is getting into very high molecular order with the vortical flows with high speed, MHD, it's magnetohydrodynamics, so you have kind of charge separation in the water. And under these conditions, the molecules start to exchange atoms. So what you get is fulvic acid as the first basic brick of life, mm-hmm. in a way. And this fulvic acid in this vortical motion is uniting to carbon, hydrocarbon chains. And this is all anorganic in a way. Mm-hmm. Now, what we discovered in the lab, which is not so easy to understand, that transmutation doesn't run in the table of elements, in the lines, but it runs in the rows. We transmute hydrogen to carbon to silica to gold. This is how it goes from the light elements to the heavy elements.
Okay.
It's just a scientific finding, you know. It's known since the 20s. Victor Schauberger was the first one to discover these lines of transmutation, to describe them. And by using his patterns and geometries and flow patterns, it's easy to reproduce the findings. So we have to deal with this. There's no way around it. This is how it happens.
So black goo is a matter found
on Earth?
Yes. The earliest, we can find remains of all the process that kind of is leading to the creation of black goo. So if you look, for example, at mumio is found on the surface of stone in caves in the mountains. And this is kind of the early stage. It is rich in fulvic acids and has already some carbon chains. So this is kind of halfway to black goo. If you run these transmutation lines to the precious metals, then you create something that has all the physical properties to be able to carry a certain form of magnetism.
Okay.
So you create a liquid that has precious, monoatomic precious metals embedded in a carbon environment. And this is the basic structure of life.
Because so it's alive. It's a matter that is alive.
In a way, yes. So the pressure, the monoatomic elements exchange light. They are photon attractors. Mm-hmm. So and these photon patterns are partly in an annihilated state. This goes into higher dimensional physics. So we have a 4D realm with this black goo inside, and we have everything that is needed to process consciousness. Yeah. You know, this bidirectional light is consciousness. And it comes out of the anorganic realm at that point. So what basically is created by upwhirling water is the physical matter with the ability to carry consciousness. It is still a baby in a way, with a zero experience. Then we have the black smokers in the ocean, where this liquid comes up and goes into the oceans. Geologists say that this is where life is created, in the biosphere. So this goes into solution in the water, and you have all the precious, the monoatomic gold soluted in seawater. You have the basic carbon pieces to build up life, and this is where life is created. The consciousness carried by the black goo is immortal and holographic. Once it goes into the biosphere, it gets into rhythms, so we separate single beings and we separate generations. And you can see how like this dissolves into a time-space pattern. And then it starts to collect the experience of life. The basic physical principle is still the same. We have exchange of light between the monoatomic elements, and it forms DNA around these elements. This is the basic setup in a being. You have precious metal, monoatomic gold, positioned in an antenna system to deal with the bigger distances. In the black goo, you don't need the antenna because everything is very dense. But in biology, you know, you need these DNA antennas, or they develop after time. And what remains basically is a system you can visualize as a mirrored thing, or as a secondary computer who mirrors things. All experience collected within the biosphere is mirrored into inner Earth, where the original substance is upconcentrating in the ley lines. So you could say the planet has a planetary consciousness carrying all the experience of everything that ever happened in an immortal consciousness. At the same time, it is mirroring the consciousness of the life within the biosphere, supporting life with what we call instinct. For example, instinct is hosted in the ley line system.
So, in that black goo, you said it's monoatomic elements,
yes,
inside of what is like gold and silver and iridium.
Gold, iridium, and another one.
Because I heard that, like for example, iridium is part of our brain, like we need it for brain. But we will talk a little bit. I'm coming back to that black goo. Because I saw on one of your show the picture, I obviously had a slide with a black goo in some pot, and it was like alive, almost like waiting to get out and into your in the face of a person.
This is this quantum magnetism that kind of gives the liquid the ability to, by magnetic forces, self-organize.
So it looked like alive, like...
It is alive.
It is alive.
Yeah, it is alive. It is conscious and alive, and it can take any form or pattern. It wants to, the consciousness wants to take. Thank you.
So there you go. What do you think, Walt? Are you muted?
I had to. Yes, I was muted. Well, at one point in his narration, it reminded me of that shamanic journey that I did when we were dealing with the black hole thing, and I saw this thing at the bottom of the ocean. Remember that? And it had to be sent back into the bottom of the ocean. I was reminded of that when he spoke about the formation of this thing. But the thing that he's leaving out, I mean, he's focusing on the material manifestation of the black hole, leaving out the biggest part of the story, that creation comes from the top down. So if you pay attention to the way he describes this as a sentient substance that will take any form, okay, if you're an etheric entity, an astral etheric entity, and you want to build something in this dimension, where do you go? Well, you go to the back black goo. That's your prime substance that you're going to do, and it's going to react to the consciousness the same way. Remember when Mengray interface mentally with that factory in that alien planet, and he visualized the car, only he visualized it incomplete. So it looked like a car, but it wasn't. Well, imagine that. That's very primitive comparison, but if you're an etheric astral entity and you want to form something in the 3D, in the material dimension, then this is where you would go. You would go into the black goo and then interface with it, and then it responds to your consciousness and it would begin forming something that you're going to inhabit. And you'll be an octopus or something. Very logical. And that's why also his explanation that it has monatomic elements. Well, yes, the monatomic elements, one of the reasons people buy it and take it is because there is a consistent claim that it repairs DNA damage if you take monatomic elements. So that's right in alignment with what he's saying. But he doesn't say, you said that he spoke about the alien black goo, but I didn't hear anything about an alien black goo. He
focused well, this entirely. This was 8 minutes. I listened to, you know, a few hours of him. One of the things he did was caution against trying to create monolithic gold, because he said that the DNA is designed to see monolithic gold and to actually, you know, hey, come over here, I need you. And that if it's not made correctly, it can at the molecular level clump. And so when it enters the DNA, it actually destroys it. So
I guess I made mine correctly.
Well, you're not dead. but okay, now, so let's just step back for a second, because first off, I see the thing on Mecca, I say it's shungite. Then this listener says, no, this guy says it's black goo. Well, just because he's calling it black goo doesn't mean that shungite is not black goo. I'm wondering, did we get hit with, because we know that, the first vestiges of life on the planet in the European environment comes from this very place. Okay, the black goo. The shungite field. Now, we interpreted that as being it being hit by something from outside that has been created in the galactic interstellar. And I'm still, you know, I'll say that right now is...
Well, there's tons of evidence to support it.
Exactly.
Like we were imagining it.
No, exactly. And, you know, I mean, it all makes sense scientifically with the chains of carbon that they see floating, moving at thousands of miles, millions of miles a second, trying to come to us, you know, that we're going to get bombarded with this. But at the same time, there's a lot to be said for the fact that perhaps this was internally the black goo coming into a area where it can be actually handled in a very, very far out distance. So I don't know which came first, from the outer space or from the inner space, but regardless, it is based on the concept of photoenergetic molecular activity that will hold consciousness.
Well, that's the thing, is that he's referring to light as, he's using the word light as we understand light, which is nothing more than electromagnetic radiation. That's what comes out of the bulb when you throw the switch and look, the light, there's light coming out of the light bulb. Well, that's electromagnetic radiation. But I choose to perceive light as what it is, the fabric of everything that is, and part of that light is argon itself. So argon is etheric light. That's why it exists. There are different colors of it because there are different densities and vibratory levels of argon. So to me, the other one thing, like I said, to me, he's looking at creation from the bottom up. I'm looking at creation from the top down. If a planet is sentient, and they are, because they are sentient beings, and wants to create life, and like Dan Winter says, the Earth is negentropic. It is actually a life-sustaining, life-creating entity. And it needs ingredients to carry out this work. It makes perfect sense that it would pull in from interstellar space the ingredients that it needs. And to me, shungite could be, should be, maybe it is an ingredient of this black goo for a very simple reason. The capacity of shungite to be psychoactive. I mean, we're not dreaming when we have a shungite-enabled device and we tell it shut off. I mean, I confirm it with my pendulum. When everything I've sent Derek three large devices that are shungite-driven and following your prescription, I'm sending them in their off state so as not to affect him when he gets the box. Well, I was doing several tests on the table here, and every time the pendulum is showing me the field, very strong. I mean, the pendulum is practically spinning like a propeller. It's almost entirely horizontal in reference to my hand. And as soon as I tell it, okay, shut down, please, the pendulum just goes down and it just hangs there. So this thing is reacting. Plus the metal, instead of being frozen cold, it goes back to room temperature. So I'm not dreaming that. I'm not fantasizing. It is actually happening, especially when you have a digital instrument showing you the changes in temperature. So that ability, that psychoactivity, that I'm wearing a material body makes no difference. You could be, like Dave, who approaches Dali. Dave could make a shungite device turn on and off. Just because he's not wearing a material body doesn't mean that he can't. Because the shungite is picking up on his consciousness. Case in point, on the previous show, Dali was telling us about her experience with the turpentine spiral and how she spoke to it, and it started changing its energy field intensity in order to help her with what she needed. And then at one time, she said that when her angels were there to visit her, they started asking about this device. And at the same time, the device was asking, who are all these people? So right then and there, you see, okay, these angels don't have a physical manifestation in this dimension, but they are pure consciousness, and obviously they must have an etheric body construct plus an astral body, and they're interfacing with this rock that is fully capable of interacting, at the consciousness level. So if that's not an ingredient for life, I don't know what is.
Well, what I like about his explanation is that he does give a material explanation or story as to what we see. Like you say, we saw it from, above, so below, to the point that he is acknowledging the functionality of magnetism. But what he's missing is that orgone. But then again, I also have heard him talk about it, But one of the things that and it's kind of like I was kind of a little bit miffed at him, because I'm listening to a couple of hours of him, and then he says in one of these talks he gave, he said, but the good news is that they went to Gaia, and he said the word Gaia, he used the word Gaia, and they figured, okay, Gaia, you should have the ability to be able to take care of this extraterrestrial, artificial, sub-quality, doesn't belong on this planet, black goo that, we told the story about Antarctica being down there. They found it. He tells a great story about it being in the German Nazi, that they had some. And of course the Gulf of Mexico story where, Deep Horizon disaster was really because they were trying to get after the black goo. All these different stories coming together kind of thing. But the black goo itself has two sides of it. There's a good side that's natural, whether it came from outer space, as we suspect, or it was manufactured by the planet itself. And this other stuff that is being used to manipulate, control, and this is the goo that they were investigating that had come from Antarctica and was given to, remember the Marconi Electronic Company?
Yeah, the thing in London. That was the show with Miles Johnston, right. Multi-chapter show.
Right. And that was the reporter that was involved in that. The reporter started to see that there was a number of suicides by engineers that worked for Marconi. And the more he looked at it, the weirder it got, because in a very short period of, I mean, I'm talking like 18 months or something, it was, what, 10 of them or something? I mean, it was a huge number comparatively.
Yeah.
Had committed. Yeah, it committed suicide in some of the most bizarre ways. I don't even want to get into them. And then he discovers that they were investigating this black goo that had a sentience that somehow or another took him over. And Harold, the guy we just listened to, he actually, when they first got a hold of some of this glue, the stuff that was being used by the Nazis. And he went into a state of awfulness. I mean, to the point that he was, you know, very capable of violence. And so he had to go. Luckily, the people working with him realized that it was not him, that something had gone wrong. And so they were able to work out a way of getting him back. That's another long story. So they went to Gaia, and they asked Gaia to turn off all of this extraterrestrial black goo, essentially. And supposedly, she did that in 2010. So the good news here is that everything he said is very interesting scientifically, but don't worry, because Gaia has already taken care of it. Except for any of the black goo that was being used in technological devices. Okay? That's somehow already being used. Gaia couldn't get to it because she couldn't, I don't know, but he had a story for it. Okay? And that made
me... Well, the gym couldn't get to them.
Well, we got to it. Nobody told us we couldn't. Remember when we were messing with it? And it was like, I have to listen. I had a hard time actually finding the tape. And I finally, it is online. I just finally found it. And when we were dealing with this, it was a matter of, Gaia, can't you take care of this? But no, it was a witnessing thing. The djinn did work with us, if you remember. You know, you were more inclined to think it was something to do with the Gulf because we had been working with it. But no, it had to do back in the Atlantean thing. It was, you know, boy, Atlantis, I mean, they brought in so much garbage.
Yeah, that's what happens when technology goes wrong.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But the reason that I found this to be a synchronistic event, in that all of a sudden black glue and coming out, blah, 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 and Harold and his story, was the monolithic gold. Because...
Monatomic.
Okay. The monatomic gold. Because what we... Okay, what happened was that we had, over the last 5 years, every once in a while, somebody would come to us and say that they were getting white, powdery stuff at the bottom of their shungite energized water. You know, the three nuggets type. And I didn't know, none of us really knew what to respond. And so we were trying to get them to send us a sample of it so we could try to figure out what was happening. But nobody, they never came through with a sample and stuff. And one day... and I had noticed it, that I would get this film of white stuff around. I use a stainless steel container for the water, and it's, you know, always got the shungite water.
Yeah, you never answered my email.
I didn't, because I'm going to tell you why. so I'd get this white film around, you know, and I was drinking, and I noticed that it was building up some, and I said something to Derek about the white film. And Derek didn't hesitate. He said, "Oh, that's Orgon. I mean, Oron. What is it?
Ormus.
Ormus. Thank you.
O-R-M-U-S.
He said, "It's Ormus." And I laughed. I thought he was funning with me. But I couldn't get his statement out of my head, right? So that's when I'm thinking, I wonder if Walt can do a pendulum read. I didn't think I'd have to send you I would do something like that etherically, but... You wanted me to send you a picture or send you a sample, and it was like...
No, I just wanted a picture because I haven't seen it, so if I could see a picture, it would give me a sense of what it is.
Well,
trying
to figure out how to take the picture, Walt, was where I'd gotten stuck, okay? and so I'm minding my own business, and I said something to Gene, and Gene went, "That's Ormus." Do you know that white powder? And I'm going like, either she's reading my mind or she is seeing the same thing. Okay? So, but that gives, this discussion that Harold gave gives me an indication as to why some people are seeing a lot of it. And in my case, I'm seeing a slight traces of it. That it is because Shungite is similar to, or, okay, well, I'm going to just say identical or similar to, the black goo. And that it's playing with monolithic atoms. And that's why it is so incredibly healing. Think of what's happening, Walt. It's not just the energy that it's putting out, but in some cases...
Well, like I mentioned, I think I mentioned on the email that there is a test you can do to confirm it. You don't need my dowsing. If you have the container and it has this white substance and you would live in Florida where you get a lot of sunlight, and hopefully you don't get a rainy day or something, take the container out in the sun and let it dry. Make sure you have that white film or whatever it is and just put it in the sun. And when it dries up, when you go back, the metal should be completely bare. If it's ormus, there will be nothing on the metal. It'll be completely bare, like you just wiped it clean.
Because of the sunlight?
Exactly. Ormus is a state of matter of such high vibratory state that is sitting right there on the threshold between matter and energy. When you put it in the sun, it's like the sun pushes it over the over the edge, and it flashes. It becomes complete energy, no more matter anymore. And they've done, Hudson, the guy who worked on developing the ormus by working with those special soils out in the Midwest, they did it over and over and over and over again. They did all kinds of tests. Every time they would develop the powder, I don't like the system they use. It's incredibly caustic, you know, the opposite of acid, very caustic and smelly, and I don't have a laboratory to do it the way they do it. So that's why I chose to do my monatomic gold using the pyramid, which requires no chemistry of any kind. So they would develop the powder, and they found this thing that happened every time they put it out in the sunlight. It would flash, and it would disappear from whatever container you had it in. So they did, for example, let's see, one time they put a pencil, see if it flashes with... And it burns the pencil, and they put a piece of paper. Let's see when it flashes. Does it burn? No, it would just flash and disappear completely. So the thing is, it's such a high level of vibratory. It's matter at such a high level of vibration that energy from the sun, once it begins to absorb that energy from the sun, that's it. It pushes it over the edge, and it leaves the material domain to become pure energy.
So it turns into a photon wave.
It disappears. It's not material anymore. So if what you are looking at is ormus, or a very high percentage of ormus, when you take it, your container, and let it dry in the sun, there should be no residue left. The metal should be completely clear, like you just wiped clean.
Okay, boys and girls, there's your answer. It took 5 years, but here's your answer. If you get white powder in the bottom of your Shungite energized water, take it out in the sunlight. If it disappears, it's ormus, and you're drinking pure photon energy, essentially, right, Walt?
Well, yes. Now, as to which monatomic element it is, I don't know. If it's going to be monatomic silver and a monatomic gold, iridium, that's kind of funny because iridium is found, to my understanding, it's found in meteorites. So whatever iridium you find on Earth, it's here because it was delivered here by meteorites. So not only Shungite was delivered to Earth by by galactic UPS. So that's one of those elements that are not native or natural to this planet. But I guess you put in an order. I want to have life. So start sending me what I need to assemble life here, people.
And if you do find out that it does do exactly what we said, like it just turns into poof, please let us know.
Yes. Don't kill yourself typing a message letting us know.
Just say, I did it, it worked.
It would make sense when you, if you couple together the information provided by Dan Winter in his, in many of his lectures, it would make sense because in several of his lectures, he talks about Shungite and the power of the fullerene. And he explains how the fullerene is implosive, it's negentropic. So when you create an implosive field, he calls it a self-organizing field. One of the powers that this field has, it's time reversal. So for example, he says that when you look at a pine cone, for example, because of the golden mean ratio geometry of the pine cone, it has the power to turn gravity into voltage. So, for example, I will need to use pictures for this. Okay, where is it? Okay, let's go here. Okay. Here we go. So and I did it. I took a pine cone because I have spruce trees in the back of the property. I took a pine cone and I put it between two plates and I put the meter to it. And yes, it does generate millivolts. And Dan Winter is unequivocal on it. He says it's the geometry, the golden mean ratio fractality of the pine cone that allows it to create it transmutes gravity into voltage. So what I did is I put a picture there in the radio chat, not the Skype chat. And I said, okay, how can I do this? How can I replicate what the heck a pine cone does? So I just got an aluminum rod and I made 7 spurling rings. The smallest you can't see because it's underneath the black tape at the very top. So there are 7 rings. And they're all spaced. The proportion between them is the golden mean ratio. So the first thing I notice is that, yeah, if you put a meter across from the top to the biggest ring, it does, you do get millivolts. But the interesting thing is that this thing pulses like a heart. It's not a constant perpetual voltage like a battery, where if you put a meter across a battery, you get 1.5 volts. And that's what you get. There might be a slight variation here or there. This thing, no, it just goes up and down, up and down. And it's even more noticeable if you take the rod and you plug it onto the earth. You get this constant pulse that goes up and down, up and down. And then I brought this thing indoors and put it in one of the big planters. And the plants just love it. All the plants in the house, they just went straight up like someone standing up at attention. It's like they're loving the energy of this thing. So then... where is this thing? Okay, here we go. Because I've been seeing this image for years and I didn't know what the heck it was about. I thought, okay, how do I, because Dan Winter speaks of, okay, why doesn't this pick up the image? I don't like this chat. So
I've got it.
Okay. So what Dan explains is that if you take 2 pine cones and you bring them together like they're kissing, that, oh, I don't know, it keeps showing up the link, but it doesn't show the image.
I see it on my chat. I don't know why, but I've got the picture.
I've been seeing that image for the longest time, and I would be in the working, doing something, and what the heck is this thing? Why am I looking at this? And I would just ignore it. And then I finally got Libor sent me that link of Dan Winter. And, oh, okay, so now I understand what this thing is about. So what does this have to do with Shanghai? It has a lot to do with Shanghai because what I did is I made 2 of those devices. And as you can see, it's a copper pipe. The length of the pipe is the vesica cubit. And the 3 implosion coils, each one is producing a toroidal field and their proportions are the golden mean ratio. And you see that there's a Vogel crystal at the end. So these three fields are conjugating. They're creating additional waves that are imploding infinitely. So I made two of these, and I put them on wooden stands. So you can sit in a chair and have these two things pointing at you. So you're actually sitting in the field in the middle. And the most incredible thing happens. You could sit on the chair for an hour. And, you know, sometimes it gets uncomfortable because you're sitting. And if you're not moving, you know, your butt goes to sleep. So you have to arrange yourself on the chair so you get circulation. You'll be sitting on the chair and you think, okay, I've been here for like 10 minutes. I'm going to leave now. And you look at the clock and an hour has passed. There's a temporal effect immediately. The other thing is that, like Dolly's turtle, we are gotten into the habit of talking to these things and asking them to give us what we need. And already my mom has been able to dissolve to physical distortions. And why does this, again, what does this have to do with Shungite? Well, he claims that Shungite has the power, the fullerene has the power to do what you see in this field of two pine cones kissing each other. He calls it an implosive, it's an infinitely implosing field, like a black hole, and it's self-organizing, and he says that's where you, and you create time reversal. your cells rejuvenate because they're going back in time. They're being given back all the spent potential. And if Shungite can do that, then that explains why Shungite is creating ormus. Because in order to make, for example, when I made my monatomic gold, you have to put 24-karat pure, I used 24-karat pure gold leaf, and I had to put it in vodka to hold it, and you put it inside a pyramid. And a pyramid is the same thing. It has this effect, this implosing effect. And what it does, it transmutes the gold from standard gold into monatomic gold. Why do you need to put it in vodka? Because if you don't capture it in some kind of fluid, the gold turns into like an oily substance. And as soon as a strong light hits it, not only sunlight, it just poofs, it disappears. So you need to use a medium to capture it. And then I use vodka, and the vodka turns golden yellow. All the gold inside the bottle disappears. And the vodka changes color, and the taste of the vodka changes taste as well. And that's how you make without external chemistry, just pure gold being transmuted by the energy field of the pyramid. And that's where Shungite comes in. Shungite has that power, like a pyramid. Because it is, as Dan Winter says, it's fractal and it's implosive. It can do all these amazing things.
Well, that's why it works with a magnet in the refrigerator and making food taste better and last longer. Because if you have a Shungite magnet on your refrigerator, it's unlikely that your food is going, like your vegetables, will go mushy. It's more that they kind of dehydrate, which is what you get in a pyramid.
In a pyramid, exactly.
You know, it's the same field, and all that's creating that is a Shungite magnet. Plunk it on your refrigerator.
The other experience that we have with the Shungite is its ability to accelerate magnetic lines. These coils that you see in the picture, just like the coil in Dali's turtle, they're not being driven by nuggets. I did a dowsing scan, because when you put a nugget in a circuit, like the Shungite spirit spiral, the organ in the wire is flowing at four times the speed of electricity. But in this case, they're being driven by a tri-Shungite magnetic assembly. So the organ in the wire is flowing at six times the speed of electricity. It gets much colder than a Shungite spirit spiral. And it works like a heart. It's like an energy heart. I think that's why Dali's turtle is so sentient, that it's able to clone itself and all the other things that it does, as opposed to something being driven by just a nugget.
Yeah.
Anyway, I sent Derek, because he's so energy sensitive, I asked him to do me a favor one of the AC power resonators I sent him is like that. It's not being driven by nuggets. It's being driven by these TSMAs. And I want to see what experience he finds in the house when he puts it on the pipe to the power meter.
Just don't blow up his smart meter again. Listen, we're at the top of the time here. Thank you so very much. Thank you, listeners, for being here. Walt, you want to say goodnight?
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being here with us and joining us on this trip. We hope to see you again.
Yes, we do, because we never know what we're going to talk about, and it's always intriguing. Appreciate you, Walt. Have a great night, and we'll see you later.
Good night, Ness.
Thank you for listening to the Cosmic Reality Radio Show, produced by Haggy Shack Radio and simulcast over Cosmic Reality Radio. Hello.